at you live from DNHQ in beautiful South Pasadena, California. This is the Blue Heaven Podcast, and I'm getting a call from potential spam.
Oh, it's my cousin.
Oh, there he is. See? Potential spam. Friend of the show. What is going on, Dodgers Nation? My name is Clint. You can find me as RealFRG on the Twitter and the Instagram.
Good job. We're proud of you. Guys, my name is Brooke. You can find me at BrookeMay3 on Twitter and Instagram. On today's show, as we have for many weeks now, we are going to slander the San Diego Padres, because what better way to celebrate the last week of the season than by making fun of our little brother? That's going to be fun. Speaking of which, there is 1 week left of baseball. 1 week. It's like it flew by. It's like it was a shortened season or something.
I think it's pretty wild that when the season is short, it goes quicker. Nobody told us this. Nobody
Someone
warned
check out
us.
The math on that, please. If you can get back to us, we would greatly appreciate
say,
that.
Did you say please?
Please.
Are you having trouble talking without the mustache?
Yeah, really, you know.
I appreciate you already bringing it back enough.
No, you know, you didn't I like just it, forgot huh? to shave.
Oh, just that one part, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's a liar and a phony. Roach says Rob Dyrdek is back. We also got to talk about that wild card, because as part of this last week, man, the National League, I mean, honestly, I don't care about the AL, so I don't really know what's going on with the wild card there, but the NL, it's pretty freaking wild.
It is literally a wild, wild card, because there's a lot going on, and it's looking very, very, very tight.
Wild. Wild?
Wild and tight. Got it.
There are people.
My next podcast.
We're also going to have, for the first time ever on a podcast, we are going to take questions from Twitter and utilize them in a segment. I know it's weird, it's wild, it's never been done. Try and keep up, kids. We know you're big fans. Anyways, before we get into the show, for you people watching, because I'm going to start cutting this out on the podcast. There's no reason. If you're listening to the podcast, I don't need to tell you that we are a podcast. So subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora. We're on Amazon now, too. Anywhere you can find a podcast, apparently that's where we are. So just go do the thing. We'll wait. We'll wait.
I shop on Amazon.
Oh. Oh. Then you could buy us there for free and more.
Cool.
What else can they do?
You can do a lot of things. Like, for one thing, you guys can make sure you drop into the live stream, because this is a live show. We're not pre-recorded. We're not fancy. We're not cool like that. We don't know how to do that, because we're not that good at our jobs. This is a live show. Make sure you guys drop into the comments. Let us know where you're repping Dodger Station tonight. Let us know where you're watching from, what you're drinking, whatever you want to do. I know some of you guys are probably also watching the Raiders-Saints game, also a good game, so make sure you tune into us first, because we're more important, obviously. And speaking of the question section, the grab bag section, if there's something that you would like to talk about tonight that you want to ask us about or hear from us about, it could be anything. It could be the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, because they're in L.A. If you want to talk about them, we can talk about them, because they're a very good team. I'll drop a link inside the comments for you guys to follow and send us a question on. So,
or at us
pay
on
attention.
Twitter at Blue Heaven Pod, at Blue Heaven Pod on Twitter. I got to point out, even though I didn't take out the top part of it, I am drinking a nice, as Brooke would say, Estrella Jalisco. So I feel really like I'm at Dodger Stadium right now. This is the closest we're ever going to get. Let's dig into the comments a bit here. Katie doesn't like the football, so we are the only thing on right now.
The football.
The football.
The one and only football.
Friend of the shore. Friend of the show, Michelle Carter, is drinking a Bloody Mary in the middle of nowhere in Montana, so that's pretty cool. We are a wide-ranging show, I think.
Oh, yeah. We are Mr. and Mr. Worldwide.
Leslie Taylor says, did Gary get arrested again? Yes. Somebody has to spring him. It's not cheap this time. He was caught streaking.
It's becoming an issue.
He was caught streaking. Michelle Carter. Wait, is this a podcast for what? Jim Beam? Hey, that's the special word of the week.
There should be a little trigger button.
We should just have a bunch of shots lined up on the table.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that. We've tried to do that a few times, and never goes well.
Tati's surprised that we're a podcast. She's very shocked that this is a podcast. I thought this is just a you know, dick-off show, which is a style. It's a style of podcast.
That's new on me. That's a new one for me.
Well, I mean, we have the same reach as Joe Rogan, right? We call this the Blue Heaven Experience.
It's about the same. Roach says, yes, I have a lot of questions. That was it. That was all he had to say.
Congrats on the new child and finding out what it is going to be, Roach. We're very proud of you.
Thank you for not setting San Bernardino on fire with the gender reveal announcement. We appreciate you. And it's fitting, because You are in San Bernardino.
Dan on YouTube, he shaved during Laker playoffs? Dios mío.
Listen, since I've shaved, the Dodgers and the Lakers have both been playing much better.
Fake news.
The Lakers are undefeated since I've shaved. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, thanks to AD.
Yeah, AD doesn't like mustaches. Because, you know, the thing.
Yeah. I think they're called eyebrows. But, you know, when in Rome, he has the brow. And that was incredible. You know what? We'll get to that if somebody said it on Twitter. We should talk about the Lakers. I totally said it, and we're going to talk about it later. All right. In case you missed it, I do want to point out that I did drop a sneaky, not-so-sneaky podcast last week. We didn't go live because, you know, it's later in the week. Why do that? But we talked to Dodger Stadium PA man, the voice of your Los Angeles Dodgers, Todd Lights. And it was a pretty cool conversation getting to know him, and I stole some fun vocal tips from Todd. You can get him on Cameo, too, and he'll give you the whole spiel. But check it out. There is episode 147 of the Blue Heaven Podcast featuring Todd Lights. Good time. So week in review. I called it a business-like 5-2. Winnie or 5-2 road streak. Try that again. And 1-2, a business-like 5-2 road trip for the Dodgers. Of course, the Padres, who we're going to get into in just a minute. I guess we can get into them now. The Padres won the World Series of last Monday, and then they forgot. You know, Grisham, I think, has gone like 2-for-20 since that game. Where were you on the Grisham celebration?
I thought you meant like, where was I when it happened?
No, like, where? Yeah, what's your take?
No, yeah.
What were you wearing?
Sure. I don't know. I didn't like the Dave Roberts mindset really too much. Mm-hmm. Not like that he's earned the respect. I'm all for the, you know, let the kids play, do whatever you want. If Grisham wanted to show up, Kershaw, like, that's whatever to me. I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. The Padres are making the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. They're young. They're good. They're excited. I understand it. I get it. They, I would say, act like you've been here before, but they've never been there before. So, you know, it's not unexpected.
And for Grisham, he ensured the Brewers were not there before last year.
He did a good job of that, for sure. So because I was kind of like, I really was not into the Dodgers fans who were just going after it on Twitter and like, hey, they should never do anything like that. It's like, no, I'm a pretty big fan of when Muncy pimps the hell out of a home run and flicks his bat 1,000 miles into the air. Like, I'm cool with that. I'm all for it. So I didn't hate it. Didn't bother me that much. The only thing that really bothered me was the fact that the Padres won and Kershaw gave up a bomb to him. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, we know Kershaw's going to give up bombs. It's kind of his thing.
It's going to happen.
It's kind of his thing. I was fine with it for the most part. I thought, I mean, there's different ways to look at it. Obviously, that was the biggest home run he'd ever hit in his career. Hitting something off of Kershaw, hitting a dinger off of Kershaw, although many have, I imagine feels really nice, so you're going to want to stare at it a little bit more. The game meant so much, and that's what was fun. The last time the Dodgers were in San Diego, which was also the first time the Dodgers were in San Diego this year, the Padres made the series fun. If you have another team playing with playoff intensity because they want to beat you, they want to be the team to ruin your run, to take you down from your perch of 7 straight and try to take away that 8th straight division title, try to get in their heads. And ultimately it didn't work because the Dodgers won the next two and they were pretty standard convincing fashion. They were ho-hum wins.
Yeah, it was kind of boring. Kind of boring Dodgers wins, you know? But that's kind of what we've gotten used to. Like I talked about it the other day, the fact that the Dodgers aren't even close to firing on all cylinders and they still are the most ridiculous team in all of baseball, probably the best team in all of baseball right now, and you're still looking at it going like, there's like 3, 4, 5 guys who are not at their peak potential. Walker Buehler is still, you know, dead. And then added the fact that Cody Bellinger had a nice series against the Rockies. He hit pretty well. I think he hit like 400 for the series or something like that. Hit a home run.
He seems to be slightly coming on at the right time. He finally
took a step back.
He listened to us, friend of the show, clearly big time listener. There's not much else to do.
Friend of the Buster only.
But move off the plate and listen to us. I think you called that too. Didn't you say they were going to lose game one and win the next two?
I did, yeah. And I had several people like, how did you know that? And I was like, that's just what the Dodgers do. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, it was an educated guess. It's almost like you're an analyst.
It's hey, almost like I watch baseball for a living. No, I've been there before and they didn't invite us back. So, you know.
Dan brings it up at the perfect time. You guys are a little bit behind us, but Dan says, can we talk about how Brookethy predicted the Padres series?
That's a positive one. Yeah, you know, I pride myself on being able to predict things really well. No, everything I do is a
How do you do to get into show shape each week? What's part of your?
What's the most ridiculous thing that I can guess this week? And that's what I go with, mostly because the Padres guy Ryan Hart, he predicted not a sweep. He predicted a 2-1 series win for the Padres, right?
So you just stole from him.
And I was like, I'm going to do it backwards, but I'll let him have the first game to give him hope, to inspire fear.
Yeah, if you guys missed that last week, check out episode 146 of the Blue Heaven podcast. We talked to Padres podcast host Ryan Hart. He has a fine show over there, Believe in Padres Prospects. Cool show, cool guy, nice boy, friend of the show.
Good guy.
We almost swept in Colorado. Sunday looked really flat. Goose had a pretty decent game. Struck out a career high 10. Bats didn't get going till late in the game. It just seemed like they were kind of done.
Have to wake up bats.
That's what you did there.
Yep.
But most importantly, the Dodgers only went to Colorado once this year, and we survived. They survived. Usually something bad happens in Colorado, it's a bad bed or a bad, you know, heart for Kenley, something bad happens in Colorado, and it didn't this year. So let us be thankful. What are you thankful for? Kenley surviving.
Kenley's alive. He made it out of Colorado.
He looked really good in that last outing. On Saturday, I think it was. He got out of an inning, with only, what, like 9 pitches? He got through the ninth inning of 9 pitches instead of like 37.
Which has happened twice this year now. a lot of pitches thrown in the ninth inning a couple times for him this year. So you're getting down towards crunch time, guys. Mm-hmm. You're heading into October. Playoffs actually start September this year, strangely enough. But we're getting towards October because we're still going to call it October baseball.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to find your stride, the time is now.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a sign of Cody Bellinger finding his stride, perfect. I don't care what the hell he did for the rest of the season before. I don't care. He's forgiven. If he finds his stride now, perfect. Max Muncy is still hitting below 200. I don't even know what to do with that one. Still hitting below 200, albeit with double-digit home runs, so I guess we'll give him a little bit of a pass. I don't know. It would be really nice to see him break out against his former team this week, though.
It would be quite nice. Dodgers going to be playing against them Oakland Athletics minus Gold Glove, Platinum Glove winner Matt Chapman, who died of hip-itis. I think his hip list literally fell out. Actually, he ended up getting that hip. I forgot what it is, but it's the same thing that happened to Russell Martin like 10, 12 years ago as a Dodger, where he slid in and the bad things happened to his hip. So he's gone. That sucks. It's really bad for a good young upstart Oakland team. Somebody's asking in the stream what channel is going to be hosting the games. I think it might be FS1. The Dodger games will be on in the postseason. I don't know the first series. It might be the network, but that doesn't sound right. Why would MLB want to add that? Because they don't get money from network.
Yeah, that does sound right to me.
Figure FS1. It looks to be all FS1, MLB Network, and Big Fox. Big Fox is going to take over for the NLCS. So.
And then TBS is all AL? Is TBS AL this year?
Yeah, all AL, TBS. So that's good. We don't have to deal with that. And that means with FS1, we should get some Joe Davis games unless they decide to move some things around. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. Yes, at MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals, and, you know, even probably managing from your couch. That's being fair.
Rejoice. It's time to celebrate the MLB season. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code BLUEHEAVEN, all one word, BLUEHEAVEN, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games that you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie.
It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash, ho-hum, ho-hum. Use promo code, again, Blue Heaven, all one word, and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie, and overtime is going all in for our listeners. We're giving away $500 cash to one lucky person who takes advantage of this offer. So when you make your deposit, take a screen grab of your MyBookie account and email it to overtime@advertisecast.com. That's OVERTIME at ADVERTISECAST.com. $500 given away at the end of September from overtime from my, well, not from my bookie, but you know, you get the idea. It's going to be a thing. Money. Money's fun. Go play. Go do something. Do something with your life. News and notes, though, before we get into the series coming up and kind of preview it a little bit. You know, there's not really much the Dodgers need to worry about for these final six games. It's just staying healthy, and we'll get into that in a minute. News and notes, Caleb Ferguson done for the season. You feel bad for the kid. He has to undergo, as I call it around here, Jimmy John. Shout out on kid. What's going on, bud? But blew out his elbow. There was hope, but as soon as I saw that, as soon as you saw that and you know, him trying to wiggle his fingers, you're like, this is elbow. And
just the fact that it was like immediate. Like no grabbing at his arm, nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, come out. Hey, come out. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
And so for him to start, you said it like right away, like, that's UCL. Maybe they can say whatever they want on the street or on the broadcast, like, oh, hopefully a hamstring, hopefully a butt cheek. It's like that. If it's your hamstring or your leg, you're grabbing at it right away. You're trying to rub it out right away.
Yeah, he wasn't doing hamstrings are overrated. No, he's saying, I feel the ouchies.
So you called it right away, and I was like, I'm going to hold out hope. And then the next day it was like, nope. The next day it was like, oh, it's UCL related. And I was like, ah, that's a season. No matter what. No matter what they say, it seems like every time they're going to try to rehab it. They're going to try to pitch through it. They're going to try to get the platelet-rich blood injection, whatever they call it, into the elbow. Never works.
Plasma, yeah.
Never, ever works. 3 weeks later, you get the announcement that they have Tommy John. See,
no, that's
Justin Verlander for reference.
Not. Yeah, exactly.
And it's always delayed enough to where it ruins your whole next season, and it's, I don't know.
If he pitches in relief, there's a very minor chance that he could potentially come back by, you know, September of last year for a couple of games. Not enough of anything, but that would be cutting it really tight. This is his second Tommy John, had one before in 2014.
Right.
It's gonna be an uphill battle. Don't expect to see Ferg until 2022 at the best, and then we might not even have baseball in 2022. So hey, CBA, see what I did there?
Yeah, you did a good job of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a good point. We might not ever watch baseball again.
We
just happiness to you.
We don't know much about this. Nobody is going to pry, but Jock was placed on that family medical emergency list. Again, we're not going to speculate anything. Just we hope for the best for our former friend of the show. He's a nice boy. And apparently he's going through some things this year.
He is. Aside from the fact that he's having just a very rough year overall in the books, he also seems like he's having a rough go of it off the field. So try to remember that when you're talking about these guys and thinking about their performance on the field, that they are human and they do have a lot of things going on in their personal lives, just like you and I do. I know it's a lot easier to just be mean a lot of times, but
that's how Brooke got.
So, you know. Think about Jock. Keep him in your thoughts. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully his family's okay. We're wishing him all the best. Again, not here to speculate. That's not our job. We don't do anything like that. We're not even good enough at our normal jobs, so we're not going
to
do that.
and to piggyback on what you're saying about being nice to people, I think it was Max Muncy's wife posted something online about, you know, people being mean to poor Max or just being mean in general. So, if you're going to be mean, at least use your actual name and likeness.
Use your picture.
Use your picture, you damn coward.
Too many faceless names coming after me on Twitter nowadays, you know? You can't fight back when you don't even know what they look like.
You know what I love is that one little boy over there in San Diego, the one that was giving us crap, Bolt World or whatever. Yep. All of a sudden, his profile picture changed to Manny Machado.
Interesting.
What a dipshit. Anyways, final week of baseball, final week of the regular season. Oakland comes to Los Angeles. Anaheim comes to Los Angeles because they're from Anaheim.
Right.
I'm looking forward a little bit to this Oakland series because it gives us another test. I like Mookie saying that either way, we should be playing all of these games with the same intensity, the same setting up everything the exact same way you should be playing for October.
Right.
There's no reason for them not to take each game at like an October game. Like, practice what you want to play through October, and you could start now with in 3 easy payments.
You're right. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. When we were looking at the schedule, and this is more when we were a little bit tighter with San Diego, I'm talking about like game and a half for a second, when they were right breathing down our necks, we looked at this Oakland and Anaheim series, and we were like, oh, crap, that's a really bad way to end a division race, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. It appears less to be a division race now. It still very well potentially could be, but the Padres would have to go on some kind of tear, and the Dodgers would have to literally drop every game from here on out pretty much. So don't anticipate that necessarily happening, but Oakland is a tough time. Oakland is a potential World Series team if you're looking at them. Unfortunately, they don't have Matt Chapman, which is a huge blow to them. Yeah. But they did just get Jake Lamb, who is tearing the cover off of the ball, and it could not be better because the Diamondbacks cut him. That's a dude that I've always been like, this guy looks like a ball player. This guy looks like somebody who's going to be really good eventually, but he plays for the Diamondbacks. So
it
makes sense that he got out of Arizona and is now performing well. He is he's good. Matt Chapman is better, obviously, but the fact that they don't have Matt Chapman is going to hurt them, I think, long term. I don't know that they'll make a run at the World Series like I had previously thought they would without him.
I mean, they got really good pitching. They do. They got a lot of parts. They definitely got a lot of parts. They still got other. I guess he would be the sidekick to Joe Kelly this year, Ramon Laureano, who took on the entire Houston bench, trying to get to. That was Alex Cintron, a hitting coach. That's beyond me, but it's going to be a fun series. I don't see much of an opportunity to meet up with them in the World Series, but yeah.
I don't think their path is as clear as it was before. I think the Rays are
good.
Rays are kind of scary.
Rays are good.
I mean, the good thing is we don't have to worry about AL teams till World Series. So there's a lot of steps in between now and then to get there. So I'm not going to really think about AL teams. I will be thinking about this week though, because they play the Angels. And my goodness, do they have a tough time with the Angels historically for no reason whatsoever. So far, so good this year.
That's right. Yeah, swept in Anaheim. Be nice to sweep in L.A., end the season that way. But still, the Angels are really bad. I was watching Albert Pujols try to play baseball this weekend. He hit career home run number 661 to move into like third, fourth place, whatever it is, all time on the all time home run list.
And then he wheelchaired around the infield.
And then he was on the post game interview for like a half an hour because he's like, hey, I don't really get many opportunities to do these anymore. I got to take up everything. I want to talk about this. I want to thank my dog. I want to thank my cactus. You know, lucky rally cactus. But Anaheim, yeah, the Anaheim series is going to be hopefully it's just funny. It's to fine tune a few things. Kersh starts, I think, Friday, which will be his final tune-up. They don't know yet whether or not he's going to get a full game out of that. You hope he does, I think. I think they've done that a little bit too often with Kershaw, where it's like, okay, he's going to pitch like 3 innings and then be ready for the first game of the playoffs. Or let him be on a roll. Let him build up. Maybe let him pitch 7 or minimum 6 innings, whatever it is. You know, keep the pitch count to 90 and then just let him do his thing in the postseason. And also, please don't pitch him out of the bullpen. Thank you, David.
Please. I can't handle it anymore, man. We can't keep doing this.
So the wild card, though, this is where the fun. This is where we care. This is where we have to matter. St. Louis is a lock. Philly is pretty much a lock to make the postseason, whether or not they drop as far as the 8. I don't think we need to worry too much about them. Maybe Philly. I think they have like a game or a half game lead in above that final 8th spot. But as of right now, it's Cincy, San Fran, and the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers and Cincinnati are playing each other as we speak. Cincy is up 3-1, so that's a 3-game set. That's pretty big. Kevin's a fan of the Rally Cactus. So, you know, patent pending.
Yeah, we should get that.
I don't know where to put a cactus on this set.
Right there.
It sounds a little pokey. I'm still... We were slightly debating here before the camera went live about the Cincinnati Reds being still somewhat scary, even with the ghost of Joey Votto
a shell of himself.
They're getting healthier. They just got Sonny Gray back today. Sonny was very good for them early. They got Luis Castillo, and we know the Dodgers tend to, some Dodgers tend to, looking at you, Corey Seager, tend to struggle against changeups. Just sit there and visualize Corey swinging way out in front of many changeups, a tremendous amount of changeups, a lot of people tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everybody's favorite, Trevor Bauer, who I believe we're going to get into later on in the show in the grab bag. But Cincy SF, Milwaukee, a lot of people on Twitter, on a Dodgers Nation poll on our Twitter, at Official Dodgers Nation, were the most afraid of San Francisco, which I don't feel that way. Where's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's just because the Dodgers historically are really bad against the Giants whenever the Giants are really bad. Same case as the Angels. It just tends to happen that way for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Don't particularly feel that way. I mean, if you're looking at all of those teams and saying, hey, of all these teams, which one would you not want to face in a three-game series? It's tough. Obviously, uh-huh. Honestly, I am very glad that the Mets are as far down as they are because I don't want to risk seeing Jacob DeGrom even one time because that would really suck. But that's it looks fair. Like the Mets are pretty much out of it. I think they're probably going to get eliminated pretty soon here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're – really all you're looking at in this three-game series is pitching. You're not looking at offense so much. Anybody can find offense on any given day. That's not what you're looking at. You're looking at pitching and guys that you don't want to face in a three-game series. And if you're looking at that – the Reds probably have the best 1-2-3 punch of any of these teams. The Cardinals, maybe you can make the case for it depending on the day of the week, because it really is week to week depending on how their starting pitching staff mm-hmm. is. Philly, not so much. San Francisco, definitely not. I mean, the Dodgers struggle with Johnny Cueto, but even then, not so much. So
they find their ways to get through to him.
If you're giving me a team that I would least like to face of these, it would probably be the Reds. I mean...
Oh, I remember, this guy has listened to the show. I remember saying that.
I've been there a few times.
Brewers. I don't know about them Brewers. Brewers aren't they aren't exactly over the equipment. I mean, Corbin, is it Corbin Burns who's been killing it for them? Somebody's been really killing it for them this year, but I don't know. Cincy's going to throw everything they can this series to get ahead of them and really knock them out. So it's fun to see this, like that battle between – you know, two wild card teams luckily matching up late in the season. That's pretty fun to watch. But I don't like it enough to watch the games right now. So, you know, win in Rome, yellow. That's all I got.
That's
thank
not
you.
What, that's not what they said in Rome.
Back to you in the studio. Yeah. So 3-1 there. Philly plays 4 in Washington, 3 against Tampa Bay. So they have sort of an easy route and then a hard-ish route. San Fran ends with the Rocks, and then 4 with the Rocks, 4 with San Diego. So they're going to be playing a lot. San Diego is probably going to still try to or need to battle to stay up on that. I guess they don't really need to worry about having that second spot or third spot or whatever it is.
No,
from here
really.
On out, it's just the people battling for those last spots in the trying to get into the postseason.
Yeah, from here on, that's the thing that like Dave Roberts has been asked about several times, and you can tell he's kind of annoyed by it. Is like he's like, it doesn't really do anything to be the number one seed. Like, what's you know, they've talked about the fact that you get to select your opponent in the first round for the future of this playoff format if it does stick around. But that's not the case this year. Nope. In this case, it's you get matched up who you get matched up with, and he's like. It doesn't even make a difference. Like, what's the point? Like, what are we doing this for? Like, it doesn't matter if we win our division. It doesn't matter if we end up the number two seed, number three. It doesn't matter. There's no difference in it. So, I mean, on one hand, it gets you home field advantage for the first series. But no matter what, where they're at now, it's getting them home field advantage for the first series. It doesn't matter who they play now. So, especially given the fact that you're going to a neutral location for the rest of the rounds.
Yeah.
So now it's just really stupid.
It's just whoever hits last. So you get that benefit. But... some players have said, I think it was Muncy said, like, he doesn't even see the benefit for the stupid extra inning rule will be gone in the playoffs, so you won't have to worry about that. So it's more of a true benefit to actually be the home team or the home seed, which the Dodgers are trying to secure. They have a 3-game lead over Tampa for the best record in baseball in case the two happen to meet at the Lowe's in Arlington. That's a thing.
Just in case.
Just
the Lowe's in Arlington.
So we got 6 games left. 6 games of regular season Dodgers baseball. It's really just kind of playing out the string, but hopefully playing out the string with some intensity. There are things to be learnt this week. Mm-hmm. Walker Buehler returns on Thursday. He is slated to start for your Los Angeles Dodgers on Thursday. Can he prove enough to not make us scared shitless?
Man, talk about a meaningless game that carries so much weight. Like, yeah. That game ultimately is going to mean nothing, win, lose, or draw, whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Really, does not matter. But I don't know that I've ever needed Walker Buehler to come out and throw 5 shutout innings more than I do right now. And I need him to be spot on. I need him to be pinpoint. I need his breaking ball to look good. I need his pitch mix to look confident.
Yes.
There's just so much that you need to see from him, knowing mm-hmm. that he is a game 2 starter potentially. There's a lot that goes with it. It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
It's a little nerve-wracking. Like, he could come out and throw 5 pitches and come out of the game. And then you look, if that's the case, if that happens, you start thinking of ramifications in the playoffs. Yeah. And then you're like, this is not good. Now we're in a place where we have to bump Dustin May up. We have to make sure that Julio's in the starting rotation. There's all these guys that you suddenly have to shift around and make a spot for. And then you realize how much that takes away from the bullpen down the stretch. And you're like, great. This is bad.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're really going like, man, I wish they had re-signed Hyunjin Ryu.
Man, I wish they didn't trade Ross Stripling. Man, all these Sadly, things. Man.
Ross is not doing too hot over
there. No, he's doing great.
Oh, okay. We love you, Ross.
I miss you, Ross.
But yeah, there's a lot riding on that game.
Did you put money on it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ross Stripling's former teammate, Walker Buehler, doesn't need to be built up to 7 or 8 innings, even though he threw on Saturday. Saturday, he threw 90 pitches in a sim game. He actually pitched to Jock Peterson, amongst others, over there at... We got a Maeda sighting in the comments, too, because Kent is having a great
candidate.
Year. He's having a great year. But Walker threw 75 of those pitches uncovered, the blister uncovered, and then the final 15 of them covered. We know he didn't need to hit the injured list. He said he didn't. You know, it was probably maybe a bad idea just because he needed – it's a thing. It's not going away. Anybody who saw that last game for him – if not, go look at the picture on Tati's Twitter with that nasty blister going there. He needs to figure out how to throw with it. It's not at risk of popping. It's not like this is going to be the worst statement, and I apologize, kids and boys. It's not going to be a moist blister.
Bill,
I hate myself for saying it because I knew it and I acknowledged it was disgusting. But it's not. It won't pop on him or anything. It's just dry and ugly. But
I feel that.
He's still got to learn to place his pitches. In that last start, in the bigs, he was throwing 100.
He was pumping 100 miles an hour during it, too. I mean, he was like...
And he kind of ran into some bad luck with it. But they shouldn't have thrown him on the IL, and they wouldn't have May got hit in the foot one day before. I love the comments already coming in about that phrase I said. And I'm not, I would think about titling this episode that, but I'm not. That sadistic.
He's going to do it.
No, yeah. I will not. Wait, the comments are blowing up. Did you type that, you monster? Hamill says that blister looks nasty. I'm concerned. It is something. It is nasty, but again, it's the crunchy kind of nasty. So it's just about finding your spots, finding your zone. Hopefully, Walker can get by with 4-seamer, cutter, and curveball. And if he can do that with that blister, we just got to find a way to make it through that wild card round, that first round. Get him 5 innings in game 2.
Is it index finger?
I think it's
index, right?
Yeah.
The good news is, for a curveball, you don't need an index finger.
No.
Just kind of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if
he's already pumping 100 miles an hour,
what if
with
there's
it,
like a flakety on it?
Then it gives you extra curve. I don't know. What do I look like, a pitching coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, Danny. Walker Buehler is wearing a Jimmy on his blister. I'm glad you thought about it that way, too. Hope you're doing good, bud. The main reason for this, and I think we have a story coming out this week or possibly tomorrow. It's not hard-hitting editorial, but it's realism. It's a realistic editorial. The Dodgers are only going to go as far as Kershaw and Buehler take them. phase two or tier two of that is going to be Kenley Jansen. We know the bats will find a way. We know you're going to get something out of Mookie because that dude doesn't – I was talking to somebody about this earlier. You know, it's the phrase you hear often is somebody doesn't take a playoff. No, he doesn't take a step off when it comes to Mookie Betts. So Mookie's going to find a way to inspire and fire up his team. You worry about whether or not Doc's going to rely on both Max and Gavin Lux in the lineup because they can't be in the same lineup in the postseason right now. But Walker and Kersh need to be your one and two, and they need to lead your rotation. They need to give a good stepping stone for Urias or Gonsolin or D-May, whoever starting game three. They need to set them up. They need to set these kids up for success. You know, this is going to be the first start, I think, ever in a postseason for Urias. Or if not, it's been like 3 or 4 years.
The thing is, though, that this year, without any off days in between games during the playoffs, it's an added factor that you need. You can't have Clayton Kershaw coming out after 2-3 innings. You can't have Walker Buehler getting pulled with a blister issue after one inning, because then that sets you up for the rest of the series to where you're like, hey, this guy threw one inning and then the bullpen threw 8 innings. And then the next day, what do you do now? You just had a bullpen game throw 8 innings. You're hoping your starting guy can go 7 or 8, but that's not always the case, you know? Mm-hmm. If you have Walker coming out after one, and then the day after that, let's say you got Tony Gonsolin coming out to start that game. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't make it through 7, 8 innings, you're in a rough spot for the rest of the series. Yeah. So it is that added little factor this year. It's that little touch of disgustingness that we all love and admire about Rob Manfred and what he does for this sport.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the moist blister.
And the moist blister and the dry flaky blister, whatever you want. Either way, it's going to be very important for starting pitching to get deeper into games. And if not deeper into games, then at least somewhat into games. Give us a decent start. Playoff starts typically aren't longer starts anyways.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, because you do only have 4 starters generally, and one guy usually moves to the bullpen. You got a longer reliever, yada, yada, yada. It happens. Maybe you piggyback a starter, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. It's important. Walker Buehler's got to be good.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. I mean, the playoff rotation is going to matter. It's going to rely a lot on who the Dodgers are facing, and we're not going to know until Monday at minimum. Unless something really gets clarified real quick. But the other thing... the other big thing we're going to learn, there's going to be a few more things we will learn this week. We got to use this final stretch of 6 games to learn about, is Kenley going to be the guy that went back-to-back really bad outings, like just god-awful outings, looked flat, looked like he had nothing in the tank, or, you know, he's rebounded a little bit. He looked good-ish in his last outing, but it's like, I mean, I did that whole pitch to him, that whole the whole thing where I was talking about this has been just a bad relationship. We've been in a long-term relationship with Kenley now for 12 years, and things were great at the start of our relationship. We're going places, we're laughing, we're having fun, and then, you know, the romance started to die down. We're just sitting in bed with our asses to each other on Twitter at night. No more kisses, good night. And we talk about it, and he's like, I'm going to change. I swear I'll change. And then he changes for like 2 days, and then it goes back to it. It's a bad long-term relationship with Kenley, and I don't want to be hurt again in October. We can't. Dave Roberts cannot be hurt again in October by Kenley Jansen, because how do you bring that guy back? How do you bring back Dave next year to manage your team? When it's not just Dave, obviously, who's saying Kenley's the guy, even though he's the one who's verbally said it the most, Kenley is our guy. And I'm not saying I hate Kenley here. I'm not saying he is going to put us in a bad spot. He's, you know, he was the reliever of the month for the first month and a few weeks of the season. He looked really a lot gooder. Not really good, but he looked a lot gooder than he had been in recent vintage. Now, all of a sudden, those games that worry creeps up again, but he's had a few, so that's why I'm like, right now you're gonna learn a lot, and you need to learn a lot from him. He needs to go out there. He needs to throw 3 days in a row. He needs to not throw any consecutive innings. Like, he needs to not go for 4 outs, 5 outs, 6 outs. No, that Kenley's gone. He's 3 outs at most. This is what you need to do, David. I'm talking to you. Look at me right here in the eyes. That's what needs to happen. Don't expect more out of Kenley Jansen. You have your other arms. Dylan Floro has been great this year. Don't let him be wasted. We've seen it so often with Dave Roberts and this team where all year they rely on, you know, six, seven dudes, maybe, you know, four, five, six dudes in the bullpen. And then it reduces to three in the playoffs and they get burnt out and the other guys are just sitting there. Oh, they threw 12 pitches all postseason and there goes the other team celebrating on our field. That's rely on your guys. Trust your guys. Have a little bit of a short leash, but especially with Kenley, you know, one man's hurt feelings aren't worth the weight of the entire fan base's hurt feelings and potentially your job talking to Dave again.
I think Kenley Jansen having a bad October this year could potentially spell a lot of trouble for Dave's position in 2021. And that's really saying something because I've never been a fan of the fire Dave Roberts train, which has been going since when did he start? The second he started.
Started in 2016, so it's been happening since about 2012.
This is the year I'm going to say after last year. We'll say after last year. After last year is where I really started to see that he was just a very bad in-game bullpen manager. He's not good at that. That's not his strong suit. That's not what he's built for. He is built for team chemistry and team chemistry alone. And he's very good at that, fantastic. I should note. Great at that. Absolutely fantastic. He is a poor bullpen manager. And unfortunately for him, those guys tend to lose World Series. And that has happened. And obviously we've been cheated out of one. So I guess give him a pass on that one, I guess. You can kind of let that go a little bit.
Hi, Jet Reddick.
But with that being said, I won't say he's on the hot seat this year, but his seat's getting warm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
it depends on the decisions he makes in October. There's a lot riding on this October for a lot of people, and I think Dave's one of them. Kenley is also one of them, by the way.
Now, is it fair to lump these guys in together, to end with each other, you know, both each other's jobs relying so much on one another? No, it's not fair, but it's sports.
Their fates are tied together.
At least we're not out here making, you know, Skip Bayless statements.
Come on, Skip. That's the best. He doesn't have like a good accent, but when he has the lisp and Skip, it's the best part.
By the way, Kevin says, bring back Yancy Brazaban.
Oh, throwback. Right. I like throwback names.
Good segue here. Roach brings up Jonathan Broxton because Roach knows the way to my heart. But it's definitely not through Jonathan Broxton, you son of a bitch. I hate him with several fibers of my being. Alexa, we don't have one in here, so it didn't answer. Alexa brings up the next line I have here. Do you think we'll see 2018 Joe Kelly? So Joe Kelly has made two appearances since his return from the IL/suspension, and he wants to get four or five outings. Are we going to see enough out of Joe to earn some important innings early on, those high-leverage innings, at least early on in October, too? We got to figure, October can be kind of long, so if you have to kind of wean along Walker or even Joe Kelly, that's fine. But if Joe Kelly comes in with, you know, two on, runner at, you know, second and third and one out, is he the right guy to trust if you haven't seen anything out of him? So we're going to learn about Joe Kelly, you would hope, in this final stretch of six games against Oakland, one good team, and the other one, the Anaheims, which are a bad team. Them Hollywood boys over there. Sorry, anti-Hollywood, I guess, is what it is for there. What are your thoughts on Joe Kelly? The legend, the GOAT, Joe Kelly.
I mean, he's a one-inning guy. I mean, he's probably not going to be more than that. There's a possibility that he could be more than that, with depending on how things go, but I'm not too worried about him. The only thing I really did worry about is the fact that he could not get his fastball down at all. So that's really telling of a guy, usually. But with that being said, he's a one-inning guy. He's got triple-digit potential. He's exactly the kind of live arm that you need in the playoffs to make it really far. He obviously proved that with Boston. He had a really bad year overall. Not really great the whole year. And then all of a sudden showed up in October and shut everybody down. And no one could touch him. So with that being said, I'm not too worried about him. I don't really, you know, not to say that I don't think about him. But he hasn't even been a thought that's crossed my mind in terms of like what guys I need to worry about. I am far more worried about Kenley Jansen and Walker Buehler than I am about Joe Kelly at this point.
Maybe if we tell Joe Kelly to visualize that he's throwing to Dodgers, because he's a Dodger killer in his career historically.
This is true.
Visualize and attack. Visualize and attack. So I don't know if we're getting trolled here in the comments, but we're being asked to, one, reintroduce ourselves, and to let people know where they could find the podcast. So that's, I guess, let's scroll back up so we remember our names. I'm Clint. That guy is Brooke. We are on the internet.
This is a podcast.
You can find our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Google. You can just Google Amazon. Us. Amazon, Pandora. Those are all the spots. We are everywhere. Podcasts are available for free. I apparently made Katie's Alexa go off.
So you're welcome.
I'm Eric wants us to acknowledge his comment. I will not.
Oh, I think he just wants to be acknowledged in general. And you did. You did do that.
Is this thirst trapping that the kids talk about?
That's not it.
I'm also assuming I made the Alexa go off in my house too. So hi, Mrs. FRG.
Hi, Cookie.
Janae says Joe Kelly for president. That's what I'm talking about. Why not? Let's do it.
Just can't get any worse.
I don't know. Last time we said that, oof. Anyway, one final thing I wanted to talk about on the what are we going to learn in this last week. We're going to learn if Mookie can secure his second career league MVP. It's Mookie. It's Freddie Freeman. It's Machado. You have to think that Seager takes away some votes from Mookie. You really got to think that Tatis Jr. takes away some votes from Manny. I feel Freeman might run away with it, but on the other hand, MVP voters are lazy. And they, you know, Mookie's been there.
Yeah.
Who wins it?
I don't know, man.
Bold predictions. Update.
I think Tatis has definitely slid.
Yeah.
And
a terrible September when it matters.
Oh, man, it's so bad. I will say, though, that Freddie Freeman, he really just, it seemed like he flew under the radar the entire year. Like, it seemed like the whole year nobody was really talking about him. But then you look at his numbers and you're like, oh, yeah, he's a... Okay, Freddie Freeman is a legitimate MVP candidate, and he actually might sneak away with it. Did you set off another Alexa?
The comments from Katie and from Leslie says, dude, stop it.
Sorry about that. We are children around here.
Alexa, order condoms.
Well.
Yes!
That's happening now.
Hamill agrees with me, saying Freeman gets it. Michelle Carter should have a chance. Freeman should. Roach says Luis Cruz for NL MVP. And that doesn't count. We talked about this. He's working at his taco stand, according to you. Nomo FOMO says Cody slid last year and he still won. But that was a larger body of work. Cody was good.
Way larger
Cody
body of work.
Was good for the entirety of this short season. So it is what it is. Sorry, I didn't mean to be continue shouting at you, Alexa. My bad. I apologize. Don't buy condoms. That's all I got.
Or do.
I guess. Bring that point up next week. I think it's time to get into the fun stuff.
We got
to
do the grab bag. The once in a lifetime, something no one's ever done. The Blue Heaven, the Jim Beam, the grab bag. No one's ever done it before. Did you know
Nobody
that?
Has ever.
Nobody has ever asked for a random segment on a podcast before.
No.
It's weird.
Ever.
Can't believe no one's ever done that.
So, everybody's on Dodgers Nation because they want to hear Dodgers content or whatever, but we've been doing this for a while, and damn it, we feel we deserve to have our voices heard, but you guys hear us anyway. But, you know, just kind of change it up, have a little bit of fun doing something a little bit different. We were going to put the topics in a hat, but then we started getting different things, and we figured you guys would also comment along the way and whatever. So we're just going to find them, read them, do whatever it is. I saw one. I forgot who. I really want to find the names of who said them. There we go. Kelsey Rose at K Littleworth on Twitter said, "Why Jet Reddick hates us? Why does Jet Reddick hate us?
Us
specifically?
Particular?
I'm assuming Dodgers fans as a whole. Why does Jet Reddick?
Oh
hate
yeah,
us?
I was gonna say I don't know her. So, well, here's the thing. What's the best way to say this politely? I can't say it politely. Her husband. Was god awful as a Dodger. Arguably cost us everything. Played for the Astros.
Bill.
Yep. Cheated with the Astros. And despite cheating with the Astros, still did not hit somehow, even though he knew what pitches were coming. Then went on to say, wear a shirt very proudly, boastfully on Instagram saying, "We beat LA." This is right after he cheated, by mm-hmm. the way. Mm-hmm. So we go on with that. Then it comes around to 2020 season. Astros have been caught. Everybody knows Josh Reddick is a cheater, and he's not even good at cheating. And then the Dodgers lose, or the Dodgers sweep in Houston, and that's where the drama started, because then she called her team a minor league pitching staff. And listen, Jet, that's on you. You brought this upon yourself. You really trashed your husband's own team, and for that, I applaud you, because that's really difficult to do on accident, but you've managed to find a way. She does have three college degrees, though. She wanted to remind everybody that she does have three college degrees.
And she misspelled a few of her tweets,
her spelling, by the way, would make me think differently.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah, I would question that, but for those who don't know, Jet Reddick is the wife of Josh Reddick, and yeah, she takes it upon herself to interject herself into many conversations, or even start. She's an influencer on this brigade, and we know how dumb Astros fans are. Apparently, Astros players and beyond are also dumb. It's just another. She's a troll who can't take it back, and most trolls online can't take it when it's dished back. The only difference between her and a normal troll is that she's using her real name and a real profile picture, like a man. So I'll give her the respect of at least that she's using her name, even though I don't know if Jet's her real damn name, but she's using the moniker in which she is referred to as frequently, and she uses her face and likeness, I think, unless it's, I don't know, it's changed to like Wile E. Coyote or something like that.
She could have by now at this point.
Eric says he trolls the Clippers often. I have a buddy who's more happy with the Clippers losing, and he's a Lakers fan. He's more happy with them losing than the Lakers winning and doing good. Like AD's shot last night on Sunday night didn't even... It barely fazed him. He's still riding the high of the Lakers or the Clippers losing, because this is our town, you know. You got one you like? You find anything in the comments?
Leslie says her name is Georgette, and I don't know if that's real or not, but that would the math would track on that.
Katie says, I don't know if I should read this comment. This is an honest Christian show. It's not an honest Christian. Katie says Jet definitely has more balls than her husband. Oh. Got him.
Yeah, Josh is historically not one to engage in confrontation. Is that a good way to say that?
Yes.
That's a good way to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that was a good way to say that.
Nomo FOMO asks, what's Cody's new girlfriend posting, or what's with Cody's new girlfriend posting that photo? I don't know.
You didn't see the afterglow?
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, he saw it.
You can tell.
You can tell what just went down in that room.
They had Sizzler delivered home.
They got Alexis condoms delivered.
You hope. You really hope, because...
You got to watch the whole show, guys. Yeah, it really connects if you listen to the whole thing, you know?
Let us know if that ordered anything, by the way. Katie wanted us to talk about on Twitter here, talk about WandaVision. So we took it upon ourselves, an honest, hard-hitting journalist. We watched the trailer before the show here. I have no idea what the hell is going on. I don't know what WandaVision is supposed to be about, aside from it being about Wanda Sykes.
Well, now she's typing furiously in the comments below, so be ready for that. And, yeah, you know, that cat meme where it's like, uh-huh, yeah, that thing? Uh-huh, that, yeah. That's what's happening right now. So
does that mean I'm not going to watch it? Of course I'm going to watch it. I'll eat up anything Marvel. I am desperate. I was robbed of Marvel movies this summer. So please give me the WandaVision coming out in October.
There you go. There's that Mr. Crush Guts over on YouTube. Always Primo. With a quality name. There's just several quality names on here that always make an appearance. It says, tell Brooke to stop simping on Twitter. I don't know who I'm simping.
You're or simping now?
What a simping is, but I don't. Maybe let me know, because that was not intentional. Oof.
Yeah. What? Who or what would you even be simping?
I'm trying to think of something funny, but
I can see where people would see it.
I'm trying to think of something funny. Oh, you remember how I'm a social justice Karen? So maybe it's like something along those lines.
Oh, yeah. It is true. You're a huge social justice Karen.
Katie corrects you, says it's coming in December, Clint. Did you even watch the trailer?
I thought they moved it to October.
This is October, like right now.
Well.
You idiot.
I said I'm a journalist. We don't get them all right.
Yeah, that's true.
No symptoms.
No September.
September. Hell, that's good. A few more of the ones that we wrote down here, so we got that. Do we want to talk about the Lakers first, or we want to talk about Trevor Bauer and why people are on his nuts?
Let's talk about Trevor Bauer first, and then we'll end on the Lakers, because that's the... Well, I don't even know what time it is.
We got time. There's no games. There's nothing happening.
One of the questions over on Twitter came from Tatiana, who is a friend of the show and a friend of us in person in real life.
Inhuman. Friend of the Inhuman.
We don't have many human friends, so it's a good thing. Tati wanted to kind of touch on the... In her words, the glorification of noted, not good dude Trevor Bauer and why he gets a pass and not others. So this is something that you've talked about in the past. This is something that we've talked about internally a lot. Trevor Bauer, in my mind, very good for baseball in general. Mm-hmm. Very good for the players' side of things. Very good for being anti-MLB, anti-Rob Manfred, anti-establishment type of person. Very good for that. But there is another added layer to Trevor Bauer, which is... You went pretty deep into it, so I'm gonna let you broach the subject and let you go across what you found in it and versus what I found in it. We haven't talked about it yet, so we very well might have different opinions on this, and that makes for good television or whatever this is.
I mean, I have a long-form opinion on the whole Trevor Bauer situation, and I think personally, just in general, a lot of people don't do enough research on both sides or all angles of a subject. If you read one version of an article that's maybe coming from the big one that hit on the initial Trevor Bauer is a serial harasser, it was done by Deadspin, and they're like the worst. They're worse than TMZ types.
He harasses Serial.
Oh, poor Serial. Serial should ask for it first.
Right.
Hold on, I got to burp.
I'll do that.
But for the subject matter, for the question at hand, the glorification of noted not good dude Trevor Bauer, which, I mean, it's an accurate statement. He is a noted not good dude because that's what people feel on him. To me, it's pretty simple that he's generally liked amongst the crowd that likes things or likes people that make other people upset. So...
Okay.
I feel like, you know, many of the people that, let's say, don't like the current administration might only like it more, or they might like it more because it upsets people. You know, the snowflake brand of people. People like upsetting other people. They see people getting a rise. That's what you get. So that's where you can kind of get that that glorification a little bit right there. You could rile up the online audience, you know, the social justice warrior types, as they like to call them, because these are catchphrases we have in our lexicon these days. If you could rile up people by praising somebody that they're not supposed to like, or they're told they're not supposed to like, then you're going to post that about that person a whole lot more, and you know, they feel right now they can justify it a whole lot more. Because they can use the argument of, oh, Bauer is good, which right now, yeah, this season, Trevor Bauer is very good. He's having a great year. Look at the back of his baseball card. It doesn't scream it as much.
Historically, not so much.
He's not a great pitcher. He's not that. He doesn't deserve all this adulation and praise as one of the best pitchers in baseball. Right now, he's a top three at most, or at worst, pitcher in baseball this season for his career. I don't know. He might actually be more along the lines of how you assessed Mike Clevenger. Just because his career has been so all over the place. But that's what it is. You get a lot of the people who just want to and enjoy pissing off other people. Well, people don't like this guy. Let's go for it. So that's my sort of short form. I'm not going to get into long form about the other Bauer stuff. You know, everybody... can have their takes. Everybody can have their feel. I'm not going to say that you're wrong to feel that he's harassing Lucky Charms or whatever it may be.
Right.
Serial harasser. But yeah, it's I strongly feel that everybody and everything should do more research just on the side of it that you're most comfortable with or that you most know, or the side that would be thrust onto social media, which is the worst possible take of a situation where... I'm not defending his actions, but he was trolled first by the first lady that got him, and it just all went dumb from there. So don't engage with trolls. That bugs Brooke when you don't engage. I gave away a huge trade secret right there.
It really bugs me when people troll me and then don't respond to what I say. It's a real big flaw of mine, and a few of you have found that and really worked against me on that.
It's so great.
It's so yeah, great. I think I echo similar sentiments in that I, until Tati asked this question, did not fully understand the situation that he is most known for being a bad person for. The particular situation was that a fan harassed him on Twitter a little bit, kind of went after him for something he said about Alex Bregman at the time. Turns out it was an Astros fan, which I did not realize until now, nope. Which kind of, you know, unfairly kind of tilts things, I think, in retrospect. But with that being said, he did go after her probably too hard for somebody with his sort of following. I'm never a big fan of people with big followings going yeah. after a person who obviously does not have any sort of following. It makes it really unfair. It makes it one-sided. We've seen it with Dodgers accounts,
yeah.
strangely enough, that go after dudes and bully them with their 15,000 followers. I think that's exactly mm-hmm. what they have. And then
users. I mean, we've seen that a few times and, you know, whatever the state of a relationship with certain people online, you don't like to see that. That's not fair.
Right. There's no way that we would use our Twitter account. You know, we have a decent Twitter account following with Dodgers Nation. We would never use that to attack somebody or to belittle their opinion or to make them feel like less of a person mm-hmm. because that's, first of all, it's not fair. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to do it behind my own name. I'm not going to do it behind a brand name or anything like that. But also, really makes it one-sided when the people that only think like you and that you only follow people who think like you, they're mm-hmm. obviously going to feel the same thing as you when you turn it on that person.
Yeah.
So it's really upsetting to see somebody with that kind of power and authority as a Major League Baseball player. Mm-hmm. I think Trevor Bauer needs to be more responsible than that, needs to be more understanding than that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, heat of the moment, he let it get away from him. I'm sure he regrets it, but he's also not said as much, which I think is something that does not sit well with people.
And he's almost like a Greinke type. He doesn't regret the things that he does.
No.
And really, it was like apparently we are getting deeper into this. It was like a Twitter troll off between two people where he messed up, where he was dumb. Was by continuing it because apparently he doesn't like when they stop responding to him too.
I feel that. Yeah, I get that. I get that part.
He dug through her history and found that, you know, she was drinking underage and posted that. So there's one thing. If you guys are having a conversation in the mentions, that doesn't go to the masses. So if you have that big following, not everybody's going to see that. Well, he posted the screen grabs of somebody underage drinking and trolling him. And then it went to all of, like you're saying, the people, his brand of people that follow him. And then she got slammed.
They go after
her. And then
her.
All of those people that, and of course, Bauer included her handle in the tweet. And then it went from, you know, it went from just a semi-personal conversation where you needed to look for it to find it. Now it's right in front of you. And JT, so we won't go. I said I wasn't planning on it, but then it happened. That we weren't going to go deep, hey, you know, been known to. Anyway, where it went like that, it went to his masses, and then all the people there are like, well, Bauer doesn't like them. I'm not going to like them either. And they're commenting and whatever, and her handle's mixed into it, and Bauer's responding to that, and Bauer responding to other people that had nothing to do with it. Started on her conversation, but the point of the conversation wasn't about her, and all of a sudden she's getting mentioned a lot. Then it became, you know, a YouTube video of, I'm getting harassed, 40 comments unanswered overnight, my story, warning, crying, you know, type thing.
All of that to say, be better.
If you're going to troll people, know your power. Don't overdo it.
Yeah, exactly. He definitely did not recognize the power that he had in that particular situation. It didn't end up well for him or for her. Mm-hmm. All those involved, not a good idea overall. I do understand that there is a certain type of feeling towards Trevor Bauer, and I think that if you feel that way towards him, you are validated in it. You have every right to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody can tell you that you're wrong, and that's fine. And I won't argue with that ever. But with that being said, I do very much like what he's done for the sport. I do mm-hmm. very much like what he has, that he somehow, baseball is a hell of a boring sport if you're not into baseball.
Oh, yeah.
If you just take a step back from being into baseball for a second and realize how boring a three-hour game of guys just throwing at each other is, it gets really boring. So if you're not into the sport and you're trying to bring more people into the sport, you got to make it interesting. And yeah. He's doing a pretty good job of that. I like that he's fighting for the younger guys. I like that he's setting up a future for these younger guys. So with that, we'll leave it on a good note. I want to talk about, because this is something that was brought up several times in the mailbag. There's a couple different things in there that we might not get to all of them today, but we maybe we'll make this a recurring segment because it's a little fun to hear from you guys.
And nobody's ever done this kind of segment in the
past. It's never been done. The first time in the history of ever, I've been told. the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles. I have to keep throwing that one in because
it's important.
It just makes sense.
Man,
where were you when you watched AD hit that three last night?
On my couch. It was on a delay. I heard my brother cheer in the other room because he was like a minute ahead, and it was very much a scream of something good happened. Did not take away from the fun of it. That was everything you want. That was his moment, man. That was his Ori. That was his Fisher. And you really, either way, we hope they make it through. We want them to win the World Series. But, man, you really want that just so that moment doesn't go to waste.
Yeah.
Like in the same way Justin Turner's home run against the Cubs kind of went to waste.
You talk about the history of how you would think about things and how you would think about that moment if things had been different in the World Series. That home run would have been so many good things in, mm-hmm. in the memories of Dodger fans. You know, you're thinking about the 2017 World Series. You're thinking about the Dodgers beating the Astros and mm-hmm. winning the first World Series since 88 and all these things. And then you're thinking about Justin Turner hitting the walk-off home run in the NLCS to get him there. All these things that go along with it that were just lost. And this is one of those things where you're like, I hope this wasn't for nothing. I hope this wasn't just one moment in the highlight of the playoffs when we look back on 2020 or whatever this year counts as now, because who knows. But I was in a similar situation, kind of. I was in an airport, which is a bad place to be, but I was on a phone delay, and the airport bar went off. Like, I have never heard an airport bar go off in a good way, but that one went off, and it kind of had me glance up because I had my headphones on, and I glance back down, and I see AD hit the three, and this dude next to me was like, ah! Like, yeah. going, I was like, all right, this is a good time to be a Lakers fan. So we are now in a situation where we might have the Lakers and the Dodgers potentially, don't want to put a curse or a hex on it because I tend to do that, potentially winning a championship around the same time, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate in one sense because that's only because of COVID that's happened. But also at the same time, this might be exactly what we all need in our lives right now.
Seriously.
Seeing the Lakers thrive has been one of the most entertaining things for me. If you guys have been around for the last 10 years as a Laker fan, you know what's happened. You know what we've been through. We know it hasn't been good.
And as Magic left.
As is pointed out on the YouTubes over here, there is no parade either way for either team. If they win a championship, there's no parade, and I understand that sucks. But also, man, I needed this kind of motivation. I needed this kind of joy in my life. Mm-hmm. It's really fun watching playoff basketball when your team's good. It really sucks when your team sucks or is not in it. I'm really sorry, Clippers fans. I do feel for you on a certain level, even though I like to make fun of you every day of my life. I do feel for you on a certain level because it's really disappointing to have your heart broken like that. I don't feel that bad. You kind of suck. But the Lakers are good. The Dodgers are good. It's good.
Fun. Watching AD take out, what's his name? Devin Horton.
He went down hard.
He was
smiling the whole time.
That was the, hey, you made a highlight for the rest of your life for just getting, you know, checked. He got checked there in the bubble, and that was great. Andre, who I think is the Padres troll, so thanks for hanging out with us again, Andre. Appreciate you. Says Nuggets in seven. How dare you? We don't appreciate you anymore. Eddie says Captain Clutch.
No, he's not the Padres troll.
Yeah, they all look the same.
He's the anti-Laker troll.
Eric says Nuggets in six-piece. Ah, I get it. Because that costs money. Doug, our boy Doug McCain, host of the Dodgers Nation post-game show. Check that out. And if you guys miss it live, you can go and listen to Dodgers Nation : Dodgers Dugout. Also, on most of the platforms, your podcasts are available. And Dugout is spelled D-O-U-G.
Like Doug.
O-U, yes, Dugout.
Like his name's Doug?
Yes. McCain says, I haven't screamed like that since JT's bomb. It was fun. It gave you like life again. And it was a long day yesterday, so it was fun. It was a good time. Eric likes that we acknowledge him.
You're welcome.
I don't... It kind of works, I guess, right there. You know, one more.
Gonna shoot.
You know, there's a lot of people on here. Let's get into, or let's let the people here have their moment to talk about the AD moment there. Katie says AD yelling AD. Kobe after that three was just a chef's kiss. That it was. Ray Barsimian, AD is a badass, awesome 3-point shooter. How can you have a big that can do that? And it was such like a perfect clean three, swish, beautiful, everything you want to see in one of those type of signature moments. That was his LA moment, and you really hope that even gives him more of something in his soul to want to come back to LA next year. Hamill says, I remember them both winning in 88. Yes, I'm that old. They did do that. You weren't there. I was alive. I don't remember it.
It wasn't even a thought.
Santiago says, parade in summer 2021 or 2022. I mean, we got to have the delayed parade.
The delay parade?
Delayed parade. Delayed
parade. Yeah. That's going to be a good.
It's a shirt. That's a shirt.
Yeah.
Eddie. So messed up. Nice kid, friend of the show. Jose Rod says, what's up, Doug? Now we got Doug's people in here. Now we got Doug's crew taking over the comments. People are really being like, where are all the Clippers fans? I love that. The last thing, we almost missed this one because we wanted to bring it up. Roach gave us a number of good comments in the mailbag or the grab bag, whatever I called it. Guaranteed Dodgers World Series win, but you must sacrifice one of the following: beer, your favorite restaurant, or your favorite genre of music. What are you giving up?
You said your favorite beer or beer in general?
It
just says beer in general.
All beer.
I can't do that.
I mean, I can switch to highballs in my fine Jim Beam highball glass, friend of the show. It's your time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess I got to think about what my favorite... I guess In-N-Out's my favorite fast food restaurant. I don't know. Like, fast food restaurants are hard to pick in terms of favorites. But yeah. I guess that counts as my favorite fast food restaurant. So it would have to be like you'd have to give up In-N-Out. I'd probably prefer to give up In-N-Out.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you know,
I also don't really have a favorite music genre though, so that's kind of cheating.
Yeah, I can go all over the place with that too.
Doesn't matter.
Beer. If I give up beer, I could switch to liquor, which is more fun. I guess there is no real answer here. Let's just win it outright and keep it all. That's all I got. At any rate, guys, we appreciate you hanging out with us. This is fun. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to do something a little bit different here at the end that wasn't just Dodgers related. If you didn't like it, don't leave a bad review on iTunes. If you like us in general, leave a good review on iTunes. Brooke likes looking at them and wiping his tears away from the general day. Till the next time you see us, which might be later on this week. We don't know. Find us on the internet at DodgersNation.com. You can subscribe to Blue Heaven on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Pandora, Amazon Music on Alexa, and so many more. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/DodgersNationTV.
I think you hit the note too high for it to register. I don't think the Alexa devices are quite gonna get it on that one, but it's a good try. For those of you with Alexa devices at home, I would like to apologize for this show because, oh boy.
Guys, okay, Google.
There's another one. Guys, I am at BrookMe3. This guy over here who loves to mess with you and your lives and ruin your day, he is at RealFRG. We're both on Twitter and Instagram. We're at Dodger Nation on Twitter, at Officials Dodger Nation on Instagram. Huge thank you to you guys, you, the audience, you at home, on your couch, whatever you're doing. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for your questions and your comments. Thank you for hitting us up on Twitter, dropping into the grab bag so we have stuff to talk about tonight. And we'll see you at some point because I don't quite know what we're doing this week, but we will see you.
Bye.